Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs. Look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up. In every pair of Tecovas boots, you can expect handmade quality, first wear comfort, and timeless Western style. Whether you're looking to elevate a casual look or add a refined flair that'll draw both eyes and compliments, Tecovas boots will do the trick. The best way to shop for boots is at your local Tecovas store, where you'll be greeted by the smell of fresh leather and a friendly smile. Come on in, grab a cold one, get fitted by a pro, and shop the latest styles. And if you're planning to hit the road, Tecovas' ever-growing lineup of rugged and full-grain leather bags will get you where you're headed in style and are built to last decades. Visit Tecovas.com, that's Tecovas.com, and don't go gently, y'all. This is the Zabecast, from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go. Thursday, June 13, 2024. Thank you for downloading. John Aurand of Puck News. Going to join us here in just a second. He covers the industry, sports media, television, radio, etc., better than just about anybody out there. And I've got questions for him about a lot of stuff. It is Wednesday night, NBA Finals, Game 3, ongoing right now, halftime, Mavericks lead by one. Keeping one eye on that, I've been editing something for you here. I'm going to play it in just a second. And I'm trying to get finished so I can sit down and watch the last installment of Live from the U.S. Open on the Golf Channel, because that begins tomorrow and I cannot wait. All right, let's dig right into it. This was either really dumb of me or it's extremely encouraging. Yesterday on the podcast with Charge, we talked about great opening guitar riffs in rock and roll history. And I said, you know, I should give a prize out for somebody who can come up with the 20 best opening guitar riffs. And I thought I might get one or two submissions, maybe in a day or two, as somebody gets really bored and says, you know what? Fine. I'll come up with 20. At 6:06 a.m., Sean Williamson, whose email is standingnoisemusic@gmail.com. So he obviously is a musician. Had the list of 20. He said, had to do it. LOL. I hope these 20 count. Sean, you were the first because I had so many submissions, probably about 50 of them. I said, oh my God, it's going to take me too long to sort through all of them. You know, think about each and rank them and go, well, this one's not quite up there. And then I was just going to read the songs. And then I heard the heckler over my shoulder. You can't just read them. Play them. It's an audio product. It's a podcast. So I went and I typed them all into YouTube and I grabbed the opening guitar riff. Some of them I had to chop off the lengthy prelude to what is really the hook, but you'll understand and respect that. And I'm going to play them for you right now. It's 6 minutes and 32 seconds. of your life you'll never get back, although it may be awesome. Now you can play Name That Tune, as see how many of the 20 you can name by song and by artist. And now I channel my inner Casey Kasem. Here's your top 20 guitar riffs as submitted by listener Sean Williamson.
Some people call me the space cowboy. Yeah. Some call me the gangster of love. Some people call me Maurice.
Well done, Sean. Thank you very much. Reach out to me again. Send me your address, and I will send you a Zabecast hat. The logo passed away on Wednesday. Jerry West, he was so good in so many ways, so successful as both a player and then an executive, built the Lakers into the modern Showtime attraction that they are, and just had a sense for basketball that was unmatched. And he was great for his time. He was one of the greatest players of his generation. And I'm not going to get into this with Andy next time I talk to him about it, but the notion that Andy wants to hold on to, that he could play in today's game, is, of course, silly. He was great at the game as it was played back then. Now, of course, there's no three-point line. He would have, I'm sure, been a very good three-point shooter, would have developed into that. But, you know, the game was played differently by different athletes. For example, I would imagine if you were to average out the backcourts of every NBA team in Jerry West's era, I would bet the average height would be somewhere around 6'1 and 175 pounds. Average backcourt. And let's call it 60% Caucasian. Now the average backcourt in the NBA is probably averaging 6'5, 205 pounds, and is 95% Caucasian. Or excuse me, 95% African American. So the game changes, it evolves. Jerry West was a legend and one of the greatest players of all time for his era, and was an even better executive. I only had one tiny interaction with Jerry West, and that was when he was scouting a young Cedric Ceballos, who would go on to become a Laker. He was the guy that won the dunk contest with a blindfolded dunk one year. Ced Ceballos out of Cal State Fullerton, a rangy, athletic 6'7 wing, was playing against my UC Santa Barbara Gauchos, and I was calling the game professionally for KTMS Radio my first year out of college. Best job I ever had. Paid $200 a game. Independent contractor money. So, hey, for a long season, if we won a couple extra games in the postseason, Big West tournament, maybe the NIT or the NCAA, we could reach almost 30 games. That's $6,000. That's $6,000 cash, homie. I'm paying taxes on that, of course. I'm doing the game. It's at Fullerton, so it's just right there in LA area. And there's a buzz in the gym. It's like, what's going on, man? Jerry West is here. What? From the Lakers? Yeah. Came to see Cedric Ceballos that night. Picked a good night to see him, and maybe Cedric Ceballos knew that he was there, because in the game, not only did Cedric Ceballos go off against my Gauchos, had a 360 dunk. Breakaway dunk, and decides, watch this. Whip! Boom. I tried to get Jerry West on at halftime. He was, of course, mobbed by people, but still was able to at least say hi to him and shake his hand once the game was over, and he quietly slunked out of the gym. But Cal State Fullerton's gym, you got to understand, is a 4,000-seat gym, bleacher seating, and the court had all kinds of other lines on it for volleyball and badminton and shuffleball. I mean, it was one of those gyms back in the day where you're thinking, why would the GM of the Lakers be here? Obviously, the scout. And that's part of the legacy of Jerry West. Capital Golf Gang is going to be live after each of the first three rounds of the U.S. Open. Look for it wherever you get your podcast. Those of you who already listened to the Capital Golf Gang, I appreciate it. But it'll be available on my Red Circle platform. Just search, of course, in your preferred app, Capital Golf Gang. It should pop right up. This email from Keith Zerbel. Steve, please share with your counterparts in the Capital Golf Gang how much I love the show. I missed a couple of episodes due to vacation and the busyness of life. In the past weekend, I caught up. I was completely blown away with you guys talking about everything that is good about golf and doing so accurately and thoughtfully. It didn't feel dated at all. Keeping in touch with friends to hopefully avoid another senseless death due to suicide, why Ronis would go golfing with his son on his day off. your story of going low through 16 at River Creek and then ultimately finishing over par, the horror story. You know, anyone who's stuck a peg in the ground understands how great and how frustrating this game is. I appreciate the panel's thoughts and insight on the game, from the happenings on the tour to the crazy videos of hacks at Top Golf and everything in between. Thank you to everyone on the Capital Golf Gang. Keep doing what you're doing. Keith Zerbel in Louisville, Kentucky. Or Louisville, as Scotty Scheffler would say. Yes, and thank you to Worldwide Golf and Golfdom and Tyson's Corner and Buddy Christensen for being our sponsor on the Capital Golf Gang, letting us do this. And we're looking forward to several good post-round recaps Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, and then we'll probably take a day or two to digest the whole thing and let all the details of the tournament shake out. And then Tuesday or Wednesday of next week, we'll do a full hour-long recap of the U.S. Open. Time for a quick, crass commercial message or two, but if you would like to do without, then just go ahead and become a premium member. Subscribe to the Zabecast. It's a mere $4.99 a month. Well, I think I round up to $5. You can get it cheaper if you buy a year at a time. You can go month to month and cancel anytime. That's fine as well. And you'll get Friday's edition with the OG homies, Scott Lynn and Steve Solomon, as part of that deal. Plus, you'll get these podcasts released on usually the night before. So you get them early, you get them commercial free, and you get Fridays. What a deal. $5 a month. I thank you for your support. When we come back, John Allrand of Puck on the state of sports television as it continues to evolve. You are listening to the Zabecast. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs. Look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up. All right, joining us now, my friend, John Allrand, formerly of Sports Business Daily, now at Puck. Not Puck.com, not Puck News, just Puck, which is not a hockey website. It is a high-end Big J journalism website where talented writers like you report on the stuff that's going on in the world of sports. How you doing, Johnny?
I like that. Big J journalism. I'm using that now. I'm going to steal that from you.
Very good. I see your stuff, and I see it's a subscription site, which I am not against. Go ahead and pitch people why they should subscribe to Puck.
Subscribe to Puck for $100, less than a cup of coffee at Starbucks per month, Zabe. You're going to get access to my reporting on sports business, Matt Bellamy's reporting on Hollywood, Dylan Byers reporting on cable news and a whole bunch of DC reporting. There's a lot of content. They're trying to create the Vanity Fair of online. It's been a lot of fun to help build this business. Never worked for a startup before, so it's been unique.
Okay, so it's like an industry-oriented publication. So you're not going to worry about, you know, the Celtics won last night. They hit 10 three-pointers. Who cares? There's other people doing that. You're on the industry side of things, like Variety reports on Hollywood as part of the industry.
Exactly. So it's all about that. Everything having to do with sports business. I could actually care less who wins on the court. I'm more interested in where these NBA rights are gone, for goodness sakes.
Well, since I'm in the industry and I'm fascinated by the industry, I'm so glad I got a chance to talk to you because I've got questions. Let me start with that NBA TV package. When the hell is it going to finally be official? And is TNT really out, or could they hang on by a thread?
I'm hesitant to say they're out. They could hang on by a thread. Right now, this is where we stand. ESPN just about certainly has the A package of games. So every single NBA finals for the next 11 years, you're going to be able to watch on ABC. ESPN is certain to get that. The NBA also has agreed to terms with Amazon. So Amazon's going to get a package of games that's going to include a conference finals every other year. This was important for the NBA because they wanted to get out of traditional television. They wanted to go toward a streaming company, and Amazon stepped up with this. And so this is that's a relatively big deal. And the NBA also really wants to get NBC back into the fold. They love NBC's offer, which is giving two primetime nights on broadcast TV in addition to Peacock, their streaming service. So that would leave Turner on the out, or Warner Brothers Discovery on the out. So potentially we're going to be without Charles Barkley and Shaq and Inside the NBA and the NBA on TNT. But Warner Brothers Discovery does have a matching rights. And so they're going to try to use some of the matching rights on this. And they also have told the NBA, hey, we'd be open to getting a fourth package, like a really small package with, you know, maybe Thursday night games or Tuesday night games or something along those lines. And that's still on the table, even though that's a long shot. So it's looking pretty bad for TNT, but they're still in it. So I'm hesitant to throw dirt on their grave right now.
So NBC would carry two games per week on broadcast TV? Is that during the regular season?
Regular season games. It would be two games per week after the Sunday night football ends. So there's going to be Sunday night basketball. And then there's going to be one on Tuesday night as well. So it'd be Tuesday night basketball. This is all where TV is going. The idea of spending for an entertainment show for broadcast TV, it just doesn't make financial sense for these guys. Nobody goes to broadcast TV to watch entertainment anymore. They've all gone to streaming. They're all binging Netflix or binging Apple TV Plus or Amazon Prime. And so the NBC and all these other TV companies, they've increasingly looked at sports because they know on Tuesday night with the NBA, they know within a couple thousand viewers exactly what they're going to get. And so it's a much more reliable investment for them to make to say, we're going to put the NBA on Tuesday night, even if it's something that you and I as sports fans are like, really? Yeah, I'll be watching, you know, I'll be watching the Wizards on the local RSN here.
Wow. To channel my inner Howard Cosell, may he rest in peace. So the National Broadcast Corporation that gave us such luminary shows like Friends and Seinfeld, ER, Cheers, they're pretty much throwing in the towel by carrying basketball games. That's a shameful thing.
It's crazy. They did it too with the Big Ten. They did it with the NFL on Sunday nights. Sports is... It's the reliable, the one.
It is the reliable thing, and you know the demographic you're getting, which is a juicy one: younger, harder to reach demographic because of the phones now. So I get it. I don't know if I like it per se. I think it would be good for the league to increase their broad scale popularity, but we shall see. I guess the biggest question then becomes this, you know, inside the NBA show that is everyone is in love with, and it's a great show. It does that have any value to the league as a promotional vehicle? I guess it's not enough when it all comes down to dollars and cents.
You know, I think it has value to the league, and I think that the league does like it. But if you really think about it, a halftime show and a pregame show, the NBA isn't going to make decisions based on the next 11 years on a pregame show that has, you know, Charles Barkley, who's in his 60s, and Shaq, who is like he's pushing 60 if he's not there yet, and it's already an older show, getting older, and they're not going to make. They're not going to make decisions on where to put their games based on that show, even if it's a show that everybody loves right now.
Would NBC buy it, the show? Would they port over those talent, or is it too messy and not worth it?
They're not going to buy the show. I think that what you're going to see is you're going to see a bidding war for Charles Barkley, because Charles Barkley is a bona fide star for a television star. Shaquille O'Neal is somebody who I think that you could see a bidding war going for him. Ernie Johnson has said he's going to stay at Turner. He's getting older as well, and it's talked about retirement. And Kenny Smith, I think the people at ESPN and NBC and Amazon all feel like, you know, they could get younger than Kenny, or he's not as even though he's sort of a glue guy for that show, he's not going to create the bidding war that Shaq and a Charles Barkley would bring.
All right. Oh, well. Moving on. The Sunday Ticket lawsuit, the class action suit that's going on in the state of California right now, is interesting. And as a longtime customer of the Sunday Ticket, I don't feel like I've been ripped off per se by them. It's gotten more expensive, obviously. But should I be rooting for them to lose in this, and will I ever see any money from it if they do?
I don't think you'll see any money from it. If I was a general fan of the NFL, I would be rooting for the NFL to lose this case totally, because then how great would it be if you live in Milwaukee and you just want to see Commanders games? And so you can actually buy the Commanders games and a package of Commanders games, which the NFL and Sunday Ticket doesn't allow. Or how would you like it if, you know, the Sunday Ticket, the price becomes competitive, so you don't have to pay as much as you're paying, and you could pay less. So I think for fans, yeah, they would dearly love for the NFL to lose this case. And I have to caution, I'm not a lawyer, I don't know much about law. But this does seem to me, because I've been covering this stuff since DirecTV first launched the Sunday Ticket way back when. It seems like a general business deal. Like, we're going to sell you this, and it has to be this is our high priced. We're coming to the market with a high priced offering. I don't see how this runs afoul.
I don't either.
Of normal business.
Yeah, I don't either. It seems to me like they're saying, look, this is our product. You don't get to tell us what our product is. You either buy it or you don't. There's no constitutional right to get out of market singular team games for a smaller price than the whole league. Show me that in the Constitution.
So should I be able to buy a higher end car at the low end car value, because like they all should be the same? Like that's the way I view it. But yeah. This has gone through. The NFL has tried to get this kicked out of court. It hasn't been kicked out of court, and you know that there is some peril for the NFL there. And again, if as a regular consumer, you would love to see the NFL lose this.
Yeah. The next thing with the NFL I want to run by you is the schedule for the college football playoff is out, and it is going head to head that first Saturday with the mighty NFL in late December. What do you make of that clash, and who do you think will win?
Who do you think is going to win,
Steve? The NFL. My money's on the NFL. But these are playoff games between possibly, you know, Texas A&M and Oregon. Because you know how many casual football fans love those two programs, right?
I have known Steve Zabin for like, I've listened to you for like 30 years, and you've always asked, hard, tough. Well, this is the easiest question you have ever asked.
It's a stupid question.
The NFL will win. The NFL will win going away against Boise State versus Texas A&M, certainly.
Has the college football playoff made a grave error in taking them on, or were they out of possible dates? Because they got a lot of inventory, as they say now, college football playoff with this 12-teamer. They got to sprinkle it there somewhere, and the NFL sits on a lot of squares in late December.
Well, look at who the NFL is putting up against them. You have the Chiefs have really become the new Cowboys. Like you have Patrick Mahomes, you have Taylor Swift. They're going there. Lamar Jackson, like the MVP, is also going to be playing, and they're going to be division games. They're very good games that the NFL populated on that day. And what I would have done if I were with the CFP is, like, you have to bow to the altar of the NFL, and you just have to work with the NFL on scheduling. And I think what irritated the NFL is that the CFP started to do that a little bit and then kind of went their own way. And the NFL is like, that's our date that you're scheduling on. And we're the biggest, baddest, we're more powerful than you are. And so I wish that the CFP had worked more closely with the NFL in terms of coming up with dates. It would have behooved them to do that.
Yeah, the league that was the smartest about this, or league, was the PGA Tour, that decided to get out of September entirely with all their shit. And they're like, look, let's not kid ourselves. That's football season. And I think they've reaped the benefit from it. Last question for you. This is a rather a niche story, but it's kind of fascinating to me. The Washington Capitals and Ted Leonsis has bought Lock, Stock, and Barrel, an analytics site that has been the rave of hockey nerds coast to coast, called Cap Friendly. And they're saying that this will have a twofold benefit. One is they get the inner workings of all this analytics about the league and contracts and players, and it takes it away from every other team. What do you make of this story?
Yeah, there are a lot of other walls to be that will be falling from this. That's a terrible analogy, and I apologize.
That's okay.
We don't know.
Dominoes will fall in the wake of this.
Thank you. The dominoes, yes. Not the walls.
Walls, dominoes, yeah, same thing.
What's the difference? I don't know. So we don't know how this is going to play out. We don't know what they're going to get from this. But this does fit in. I mean, one of the things that Ted Leonsis has been trying to do as the owner is build up a big media business, and big data and analytics is part of that business. It goes along with buying Monumental Sports Network from NBC. It goes along with sort of spending $50 million creating this brand new gleaming a studio set. So that we don't know how this is, what this is going to happen. If I was another owner in the NHL, it would, I don't know if it would piss me off, but it would certainly make me raise an eyebrow and take a look at it. And that there's a lot more chapters to be written, if I can kill another analogy there.
Yeah, good stuff. All right, subscribe to Puck. Get all the good industry stuff from guys like John Owrand and others. New podcast starting soon. You had done that podcast with Andrew Marchand of the New York Post. That was excellent stuff. Get into the inner workings of the biz. And it's just great to reconnect with you, my friend, and I hope you're well.
I will do this anytime, Zabe. Thanks for having me on, man.
Let's end on two quick emails. This one from Greg Ten Eck. Regarding Andy Poland's appearance on Monday, I thought you should know I'm a major longtime fan and premium subscriber, so take this to heart. Just a couple of corrections I know you'll appreciate it to avoid future malapropisms. In the Christmas Vacation movie, Cousin Eddie's last name is not Griswold, it's Johnson. I did not know that. In fact, he's not even a blood relative. Eddie is married to Ellen Griswold's cousin, Catherine. Also, the expression is, quote, useless as tits on a bull. Get it? A bull doesn't need tits. It's a man. It's not tits on a boar, which is what you said. You're welcome, Greg in Florida. Okay, on the first one, I did not know that. But now I do. I have heard it both ways, tits on a bull and tits on a boar. But I may be mistaken on that. Somebody, I bet, is going to send in an email either saying, no, you're totally wrong, nobody says that, or, yep, nope, and here's where tits on a boar comes from. It's more of an Arkansas kind of expression or something like that. Lastly, regarding wild animals, this one from Carissa Holmes regarding the bull and the poor woman in Sisters, Oregon, who got flipped like a poker chip not once but twice. Headline of her email is, did she deserve to get gored by the bull? Good morning, Steve. My partner is a huge Steelers and Pirates fan, and listening to the Zabecast is a part of his morning routine, and so it has become a part of mine. I can't tell you the number of women who happily, they start out by, I'm sure, groaning, listening to my dumb ass on this podcast, but then many of them come around like, I really like it. My partner is a big fan of yours, and he listens. I do enjoy the timbre of your voice, and some of the topics discussed are of interest to me. On the Monday podcast, you made mention of the incident where a bull named Party Bus broke out of captivity at an Oregon rodeo and rampaged through the fairgrounds, attacking a woman that was nearby. You even mentioned that you watched this poor person being attacked at least 20 times. For what reason, I don't know. Well, because I wanted to try to go, all right, what's going on here? Are they not looking? Is she videotaping? I'm looking at other parts of the video. That's why. I wasn't there going, ha-ha, look at her get fucking wiped out. I'm not a sicko. Come on. Because of my occupation, I've got a working knowledge of trauma responses, polyvagal theory, and how the human nervous system responds to danger. It seems that you do not have the same knowledge regarding the human nervous system, so here's the Cliff Notes version. When we sense we are in danger, we feel or feel unsafe, our nervous system will choose, quite instantaneously, whether to fight, flee, freeze, or fawn. I didn't know about the fawn. I've heard about fight or flight. Fight or flight or freeze. Not fawning, though. That's new to me. You don't get to think about whether it would be best to run or to fight. It's decided for you in a precognitive place. She said it was the Cliff Notes version, and then she goes on, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, a lot of paragraphs here, and I appreciate the thoroughness, but I'm not going to read them all. I'm not going to read them on the podcast. I read them when I first looked at the email, though. But basically, she says, you don't have a choice in this. It's pre-programmed into your mind. Okay. I don't doubt that that's the case in many circumstances. I guess it depends on the degree of danger that you might be in. I bet there would be some instances where I perceive such a grave danger that I too freeze. But I'm such a chicken ass. If I sense a little bit of danger, I'm moving. I'm running. I don't seem to have a problem with that. So maybe the fight or flight or freeze or fawn thing is proportional to everyone's perception of the amount of danger. Anyway. You also said something about just like a woman to sit there. I think I said, I'm not going to say it's just like a woman to sit there. It made it sound, she says, like you think women are somehow inferior to men or not as smart in a crisis or in some way deserving of bad things happening to them. Absolutely not. She says, I know you don't actually feel that way because you must be smarter and kinder than that. Thank you very much. The words may have just come out wrong from your mouth. I think I didn't elucidate them clearly enough. Anyway, in case you don't realize it, women are listening to your show, and we don't appreciate such blatant sexism in a private conversation, let alone a public broadcast. Well, here's where you and I are going to disagree just a bit. All right, Carissa? If you're going to hang with the boys, you're going to catch some strays. I bust guys' balls. I'll bust gals' balls. We'll make some generalizations, which may be accurate, some of them which will be unfair. Push back if you like. We'll discuss it. We'll hug it out at the end. It's going to be okay. Nobody gets kid gloves on this show. Least of which is me. Anyhow, now you know. I wonder what your nervous system would have chosen for you in that moment. I hope it would have chosen run. I don't think it would have frozen. My theory on that is there's such grizzled country folk, animal folk, farm folk, bull and cow folk, that they looked at it like, ah, boy, bull got out of the ring again. All right, Yeah, looks like he's going to be running back into the Rams. Oh! Oh, no! I think they looked at it like it's not that big of a deal, and then the bull actually went at him. By the way, I did find out bulls are colorblind. They can't see red. That's just a big old myth. So, again, I've been educated on that. Anyway, Carissa, Ms. Holmes, thank you for reaching out. God bless you. You're a good woman for putting up with your man, listening to my stupid yap run his sometimes misogynistic mouth, which you know is all in jest, not in seriousness. I've got two daughters. I've got a wife. I know better. And with that, I'll say that's a wrap. Thank you for listening, for downloading, for being a part of the Zabecast Nation. And as always, have yourself a great Thursday. If you can, rate and review. If you can't, that's fine. You're dead to me. I don't care. Subscribe on Fridays if you want. Don't if you can't. But I need your money. I'm about to starve. Just kidding. No, I'm not. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. If I don't hear you tomorrow, and we will see you next time. Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs, look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up.